So what a blessing to be in the house of the Lord, my friends. Good to be here. Thank you for joining me in worshiping the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today. I hope this message would be a blessing and encouragement to you. And I kind of toyed with the title. You know, I tend to be goofy. I'm just kind of a goofy guy. But I hope the title does not, you know, dumb down the significance of the message. Because how true and powerful it is. But the title of the message, keep on scrubbing. Keep on scrubbing. And so it's a spiritual, it's a sermon on spiritual washing. Not about baptism, but about the scriptures. Exposure to the scriptures. Conviction by the scriptures. And then cleansing by the scriptures. And so washing is used as a metaphor. The idea, it is the scriptures that cleans us. Okay, so that's the concept. Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go to verse 26. It will be our main verse for this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. And then we'll ask the Lord for his blessing on this message. May it speak to hearts and change lives. Amen. That's God's desire. Whenever his word is preached, that we would be blessed by it, but also convicted by it. And so Ephesians chapter 5, the word of God tells us in verse 26 that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Let us pray. Abba, Father, what a blessing to be in thy house. Father, thank you so much for your precious, precious Word. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. And thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, all this truth, all this power that can make us what we ought to be, that can cleanse our heart and make us free from sin and the bondage to death and give us eternal life. All of the blessings that you have that none of us ever even dreamed of. You reveal it to us exclusively, only in your word. Father, thank you for your precious scriptures. Help us, Lord, to be blessed today, yielded today, Father, open to the Spirit of God. And Lord, I just beg of you, please use me in spite of myself, in spite of my sin. I'm just no better than that. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But Father, your word is precious and your word is eternal. Help us to hear from heaven on high and anoint these lips of clay. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. That it might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water. That's just the metaphor and the picture. But how God does it is by the Word. Right here that you hold in your hand. And besides the Word of God, there's no other washing. Okay, so it's certainly not baptism. That's just a picture of your salvation once you are saved. By the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's always by the Word of God. There's, besides the Word of God here, there's no other scrubbing, no other washing that takes place. But it kind of got me thinking, you know, who likes cleaning? Okay, I'm not the only one that doesn't like washing dishes, right? Besides sister back there, of course we know that. It kind of got me thinking, wouldn't cleaning be so much easier? Wouldn't we be washing so much less of a chore if things got clean with just one rinse? I mean, if you kind of imagine, you know, maybe a crusty pan, okay, you fried the bacon too long or something, you know, and it's all black and it's stuck and it's greasy and it's slimy, and then you put it under the faucet and comes right off. Like, wow, well, washing ain't so bad. Of course, that doesn't happen. Can you imagine doing, I don't know, a load in the washer, and you do do do, you set it going, and after 2 seconds. You barely even left the room. It's done. Or it goes into spin cycle. Like, wow. You know, so if only washing was that simple. One scrub and you're done, okay? And I share this because here's the bottom line. Washing is necessary. But it takes multiple scrubs to get something clean. Scripture doesn't say wedding. It says washing, okay? And that's a big difference. Again, if you wash your car versus if you wet your car, okay? The idea is if you wash just by the nature of the word, the goal is to get it clean. You wash until it's clean. If something is to just be wet, well, once it's wet, well, then mission accomplished. Whether it's clean or not, that's regardless, right? I mean, you wet it. So there's a big difference in getting something washed, getting something wet, okay? And here's where it kind of comes down to us. Too many people today are merely wet by the Word of God, but they're not washed. It starts with your salvation and then your surrender. The idea is, it's not that God's Word It's not powerful enough to save us instantly, because it sure can. But it needs to work its way into my heart. And my heart is full of crud. It's full of rust. It's full of junk, okay? It's full of blemishes, whatever the case may be. My heart is full of blockage, okay? The idea is, how many of us got saved the first time we heard the gospel? It's great if you did. Hallelujah if you did. But if you are like myself, I did not get saved the first time I heard the gospel. God's word could have saved me, but my heart was too full of pride, too full of self, too full of sin, too full of doubt. And so I needed to hear God's word again and again and again and again. And every time I heard the word of God, every time I read the Romans Road, every time I thought of the Lord Jesus Christ, God worked on my heart. Until finally scrubbed away all of myself. I ran out of excuses. God's word washed away, scrubbed all my excuses away. And then, bam, I got saved. So again, we get saved instantly when we believe in the word of God. Salvation is a new birth. It's not a process. It's instantaneous when you believe in the scriptures. The idea, the truth is, my heart though, our hearts, by nature, by sin nature, by human nature, is callous with all kinds of calcified junk. Okay, so that's the idea. Don't just get it wet. Keep on scrubbing. Keep on applying it for salvation first, and then our service. Keep on scrubbing. Because, and by the way, it's not just a one and done. You talk about washing your car versus wetting your car. I don't know. Now it's winter time. I'm coming to spring. But how often does our car get dirty? Sometimes. I'm not sponsored by them, okay? But this Tommy's Express or whatever, that there's two in Warsaw. That was the first time I was exposed to the subscription model, right? You know, like they don't charge you per wash, you pay for the month. And so what's a flat rate? I think it's $20 or whatever. Okay, so the idea is once you pay, you can have unlimited washes that month. So it's a kind of it's just like a phone plan. And I'm like, huh. Of course, I'm too cheapskate, so either way, I don't do it. You know, but the idea is, I did it when I got a free coupon. That's right. I got a free coupon. Like, hey, this is, you know, because it's not cheap. Even the cheapest one is like $10. And so I got the free coupon. I got to do it. And then in front of me, my car is, you know, desperately needing washing. In front of me, there's a whole bunch of other cars that look very clean to begin with. I'm like, what are you guys doing? You guys enter. Of course, they're already prepaid. For the whole month, so you might as well just keep going every day party. I mean, and so you keep your car sparkling clean. But the idea is, you know, I get my car clean. I'm so happy. A few days later, I'm like, huh, it's like I didn't clean it, which is why I don't clean it very often. Because you clean it, gets dirty. What's the point, right? But here's the thought: keep on scrubbing, because it's not just a one and done. The idea is we have this, this quick fix mentality. You know, yeah, preacher, I read my Bible once. I didn't see a change in my life, so I quit reading. Well, that was just one rinse. Doesn't work that way. You're going to keep it. It's an ongoing battle, right? Keep on scrubbing. Or the thing is, yeah, I worked out in the gym this one time and no six packs. I guess working out doesn't work. Like, no, you've got to keep at it, right? That's the whole point. And so the idea is keep on scrubbing. It applies to every aspect of the Christian life. Again, from salvation. Takes time for us to truly believe and to truly trust the word of God. Praise God. And some do it sooner than others. I remember Brother Neil, my jail buddy, that we did our Bible studies at Eau Claire County. He would share his grandson got saved at 8, I think. And his dad got saved at 91. Was fighting the scripture, fighting the truth, fighting the gospel his whole life. Some of us need some really tough scrubbing, right? But again, typically we need to hear God's word multiple times before it finally makes into our heart. Titus chapter 3, this is how God worked in my heart. Titus chapter 3, turn with me there. Titus chapter 3. And then verse 5, this is a spiritual washing, nothing about baptism, but it's the application of a spiritual washing with the only using the word of God. And the word of God says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his, what? Mercy. He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. When I was washed with the Word of God, that was when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Every time I would read the Scriptures, even if it wasn't, in fact, I can even attest to this, even growing up as a child, even singing those Christmas carols. Yeah, I know it's not the Scriptures, but it had the truth of the Scriptures and talked about glorifying Jesus Christ as King. And I knew I wasn't doing that. Even as a young kid, I would sing, you know, glory to the newborn King. And I'm like, well, I don't think. I knew I wasn't living that way. I knew He wasn't my personal Savior. You know, I knew that He was the Savior, but He wasn't my personal Savior. And every time I read the Scriptures, God worked on my heart. He washed and washed and washed and kind of chiseled all the calcified, you know, junk. And until one day, I was out of excuses. And that day was July 1st, 2001, in a hotel room in the L.A. Hilton, and I was reading the Gideon's Bible. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've got to believe in your heart. If you truly believe in your heart, you will confess with your mouth. The confession doesn't save you, but it shows your heart's belief is effectual, is real, okay? And so you have to believe from out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so what you truly believe comes out. And so I truly believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord. I wanted to confess Him. Say, Lord, I believe that You're my Savior. I forget it. I don't even know what I said, but I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and He saved me. I've been saved ever since. The Word of God, wash ourselves in God's Word. And then after you are saved, it's for surrender, right? How many of us have surrendered to live for the Lord? Well, I'm still struggling with that, right? We still struggle with that. And in fact, if you want to think of church, yes, it's the house of prayer. Yes, it's a pillar and ground of the truth. And so we come to worship the Lord. And in person, He's two or more together. He's here with us. Praise God for that. But if you want to think of it in a carnal sense, like sometimes I do, it's like the car wash, you know. We're the car, you know, and we get cruddy, we get muddy, we get dirty, you know, and what's, you know, or like brushing your teeth. I mean, you can use all kinds of illustrations, you know. It's not a one and done type of thing. Hence the whole point of the message, keep on scrubbing. We got to do it. We got to hear it. We got to keep immersing ourselves with the Word of God. Let's go back to Ephesians. God really, really, really loves us so much. He gave Himself for us. He really, really wants to wash our heart with His Word. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go back a verse, verse 25. We'll start back there. Ephesians 5 and then verse 25. Of course, speaking about husbands with the wives, the idea is this should be a no-brainer. And it's to illustrate Christ with His church, okay? But of course, both are applicable. And so verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. And so God's love is in verse 25. It brings us to verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Now it's God's love, but God's love in verse 25 and God's Word in verse 26 are intertwined, okay? Because this is the only way that we know God's love is in the love letter, the Holy Bible. And so if you have a Bible, this is proof that God loves you, right here. This is proof that God loves you. God's love and His Word go hand in hand. And why did God save us? Well, so that we can glorify Him. Verse 27, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing. But it should be holy and without blemish. Now, once you're saved forever. Praise God, because He saves us. He keeps us safe. And we are all, if you are saved, you are elected. You have been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Every single believer, if you're saved now, no one's going to be left behind when we get glorified. Okay, and so that the doctrine of election and predestination is the doctrine of salvation and eternal security. Go hand in hand. Both sides of the same coin, okay? But while we are saved and we are waiting right now serving on planet Earth, this side of glory, may we live this holy and righteous life. When we desire to glorify God, look at the bar. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Boy, a spot would be a smear, a blemish, a wrinkle would be a crease, if you could, some kind of an imperfection. The idea that The only way I can live this holy life, the Lord tells us, be ye holy. If you're a child of God, you're saved. As your Father in heaven is holy, we should represent Him, so we should also be holy, right? Don't be, you know, back in our sins when God saved us from our sins, when Jesus Christ died to redeem us from that. Don't be, you know, mucking around in that filth. Live like a Christian. Now we're saved, not by what we do, by what Jesus has done. But we please God by what we do, okay? And so we want to please Him to the max. We want to have a holy life that's without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle. The only way we can do that, because there's no other way, is to keep scrubbing every day. We worship together on Sunday. We hear the Word of God on Sunday. Praise God. But every day you have to read your Scripture. Pray to the Lord. Read your Bible. I can't emphasize, you know, read God's Word. Hear God's Word. Think of God's Word. See God's Word. Say God's Word. The memory verses that we go through. And it doesn't have to be the one that we go through in our class. Just pick your favorite verse or whatever. But continually say God's Word. When you say God's Word, it works in our heart. It's more important than we think. You know, I think of sometimes you see a dirty car with a muddy back windshield. What do people like to write on it? Wash me, right? And so, do I have "wash me" on the back of my windshield? You know, if we are all cars, that's the idea. We can only wash by the word of God. Okay. The wrinkle, of course, is something that's a fold, a crease, an imperfection. It causes, you know, misalignment. It needs to be smoothed over, buffed out, ironed out. You know, if you want to think of a wrinkled shirt, but it takes going back and forth. You know, it takes scrubbing. Okay. And again, it's not even one spot. My wife can attest to this. Maybe it's a bad example, okay, but I'm not only am I a corner cutter, I cut corners, I'm proud of it. Okay, so that's a sin because I'm proud. Okay, but when I wear my shirt for church, I only iron the part that the jacket doesn't go over. The cat's out of the bag. And in fact, I don't even iron it. I use the wrinkle releaser, the spray. So we're rushing for time. I'm already wearing it. I kind of go like that. And I kind of go like that. Looks in the mirror. And I cover up good enough, you know. And so there's wrinkles here. No one can. Yeah, you know, I'm just saying. But what God sees, not like how man sees. And God says, not one spot, not one smear, not one wrinkle. And I go, man, not one wrinkle. How am I going to do that? By the Word of God. This is the power of the Word of God. To release all those wrinkles, okay? All that stress points, all that fear, all that schism, all that pain, all that tears, whatever it might have, it's by the Word of God. Let's go to 2 Timothy. You might know where I'm going, but let's go to 2 Timothy with me. Again, not baptism. This is spiritual washing by the Word of God. And so 2 Timothy chapter 3, I wanted to start with verse 15, but verse 14 is really good. In fact, verse 13 is really good. Verse 12 is awesome. Let's start at verse 12. We've got to start somewhere, otherwise I'll start back in the Bible. But let's go to verse 12. It says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. We know this, but may it keep our hearts strong and of good courage. Wash our hearts with this verse. And in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. May we keep our heart pure and clean. They are deceiving and being deceived, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of. Keep on scrubbing, not just one and done. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The idea is the Bible saved, but you've got to understand it, you've got to read it, you've got to trust it. Through faith, faith alone, not of works, lest any man should boast, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. Scripture and scripture alone can straighten out any wrinkle. that you have. If you have some problem, if you have some hardship, if you have some beef, or whatever the case is, wash. Don't be discouraged. If you need more than one, go around, right? Because that's how we do everything else. It's more than just getting wet. Wash it to be clean. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. All good works, zero spots, zero wrinkles, and zero such things. I mean, this is amazing. This is so amazing. And yes, I know, back in Ephesians, Paul is speaking about Christ gave himself for the church. I get that. And so Paul is speaking about the plural, the plurality of believers. But I don't want to be that spot or smear or wrinkle in the church. I don't, you know, the church is doing good and there's one spot. I don't want to be the Achan. You know, I don't want to be that blemish in the church. Let's go 1 Timothy. So one book back, just 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's go to verse 11. 1 Timothy 6, let's go to verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. That's sin, that's the love of money. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. That word follow after, it's a ongoing thing, right? It's not just, it's our whole life. It's not just a few steps and then you kind of veer off and do something else. No, this is our whole life. Follow it. Keep on scrubbing. Verse 12. When we do verse 11, then we can fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Keep on doing this, Timothy. Keep it up. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things to make alive all things. And before Christ Jesus, he is our perfect example, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. That thou keep this commandment without spot. Now, this is a personal charge. Yes, Paul was writing to the Ephesian church, but we are the church as far as the people, you know. And for the church not to have a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, guess what? I got to have no spot or wrinkle. Because if I have a wrinkle, the church is a wrinkle. If you have a spot, the church is a spot. Makes sense? Because we are, you know, collectively the church. Okay, and so this at the individual level, without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So keep scrubbing, keep washing, until we get to glory. What a reminder, you know, because when it comes to the church, don't look at someone else's spots or wrinkles. Here's the deal. We all look at our own spots and wrinkles, okay? Not at the mote in my brother's eye, but the beam in my own eye, right? So everyone look at our own sins, and we get right with God. If we do, in fact, we should consider others, but not critically. In fact, how should we? Because the idea is, we don't want to be in our silos, because the church is the body of Christ. We don't just want to keep to ourselves, in our own silos. That's not the intent either of church. So how do we reconcile that? Well, there's another application to scrubbing that the Lord Jesus Christ himself actually gives us the example of this. Let's go to John 13. This is where he, of course, spoiler here, he washes the feet of the disciples. But I want us to observe this. I can't contain. Okay, and so here's the punchline right here. It's not a one-and-done thing. The washing, Jesus did it once. But the idea is that the disciples should continually wash each other's feet. Okay, just like we continually wash our heart with the Word of God, we continually wash one another's feet as far as in serving. Not just one and done, but continually. And don't mix that up, because too often, I want to wash your heart. You got to get right with God. I'm going to wash your heart. And can you wash my feet? No. You wash your own heart, and then you wash others' feet. Okay? And so let's go to John 13. And then verse 3, we'll start there. John 13, verse 3. Beautiful illustration here that Jesus himself does as the Lord. And boy, I see myself in Peter straightway through. But let's go to verse 3. It says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. He's about to serve and he's playing the role of the servant, even though he is the Lord of all creation. And so I can just imagine the disciples are kind of stunned and perplexed. What is the Lord doing here? After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. I mean, this is a very normal and accepted cultural norm back in the Bible days. If a house owner was wealthy enough to have servants, this is what the servants would do. When the guests would come, the servant would wash the feet. I don't know, if I was there, I was like, no way. No, he just did not just wash up. You know, and so, no way. Look at verse 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Peter saith unto him, maybe he kind of put his foot up. Lord, doth thou wash my feet? What are you doing? Verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And so, hey, Peter initially doesn't understand. You know, Lord, Jesus, you're the Lord. You're the Lord of glory. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. There is a chain of command. You don't wash others' feet like a servant. Others should wash your feet. You know, that's what he's thinking. And that would be how I would be thinking. But true Christianity, here Jesus is going to reveal this to him. True Christianity is not about having others serve you. It's about you serving others. In fact, the foundation of Christianity is Jesus Christ. He came to sacrifice himself for us, right? Jesus, remember, he said, the Son of Man himself came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That's in Matthew 20, 28. And so Jesus tells Peter in verse 8, the rest of verse 8, Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now, this is not for salvation. But what Jesus is saying, this is the Christian way. Peter, if you want to be on my team, Peter, if you want to do what I do, Peter, if you want to be a good Christian, you wash others' feet. Well, look at Simon. Typical Simon Peter fashion, like maybe like myself, goes from one extreme to the other. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And so what Peter is asking here is essentially asking for a full body bath. Okay, it's like, well, then don't just stop at my feet. Plunge me the whole thing. Hook, line, and sinker on my head, shoulders, knees, and toes. I mean, my whole body. I want a whole body bath. And then Jesus says, okay, slow down, Peter. It's okay. Time out. Okay, so Jesus says in verse 10, Jesus sets Peter straight here. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed. Now, this washed is the same context as Peter is asking in verse 9, meaning, you know, a bath. So what Jesus is saying needeth not. So what Jesus is saying, if you already have a bath, if you've already been bathed, you don't need another bath. If you're already saved, you don't need to be saved again. Okay, that's what he's talking about. You're already saved, you're already born again, you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit of God by believing in Jesus Christ. You've been washed, head, hands, and feet. You've been bathed, which is what Peter was initially asking in verse 9. Jesus is saying, Peter, if you've already been bathed, you don't need another bath. The only thing you need to do, save the exception, okay, is to wash each other's feet. Because he's talking about serving. Okay, not even though he literally washes it here, the application, the lesson to us is to be servants, to be true servants to each other. He says, he that is washed, if someone's already been saved, only be saved again, needeth not save to wash his feet. All you have to do is focus on washing people's feet, be a servant to them. But is clean every whit. You're totally clean. You're saved, head to toe. And ye are clean, but not all. Of course, we know who he's referring to. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore, he said, ye are not all clean. Because who hasn't been bathed spiritually? Whose heart hasn't been washed? That would be Judas. Everyone else, the idea is they're saved. Okay, so verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Do you really know what I've done? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Not for salvation. They've all been bathed, head to toe. They're all saved. But this is for service. This is not to have a spot or wrinkle. And the idea is, as we serve one another, what a joy to wash our own hearts, but to keep washing the feet of the saints to serve unto another. And if you think about it, it's not a one and done. Keep on scrubbing. Keep on washing. Because every day the dirt builds up, right? So it's a continual thing. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Obviously, we're not greater than Jesus. Jesus himself has washed his disciples' feet. We ought to wash one another's feet. But look at verse 17. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Don't miss what it says here. Jesus doesn't say, happy are you that you know it. He says, happy are you if you do it. It's if because it's based on our obedience. Remember, we don't go to heaven based on what we do. We go to heaven based on what Jesus done. Hallelujah. But we serve God and we are rewarded by God based 100% on what we do for him. Okay? And so we want to serve him to our fullest. We don't have to. But if you don't, you're missing out. Okay? Because this is the key to happiness. No other way to be happy in Jesus but to what? Trust and obey. And so keep washing. Keep washing our heart with the word of God over and over and over again. Keep serving one another by washing the feet. The idea is we become servants to one another. Keep washing, washing, washing with the word of God. Keep scrubbing our hearts with the word of God. We eat a lot of rice in our home. We buy 20-pound bags maybe every week or two, something, you know, and so we go through rice. And, of course, the most time-taking part of making rice is, you know, we use a rice cooker, but we've got to wash it. And so I'm washing it. This one time was, I don't know, maybe at the bottom of the bag or something, the rice was extra dirty, you know, even pouring it in, it was like a dust cloud, you know. So when I was washing it, the water was completely thick. I had my hand in there, kind of moving it around. I can't even see what I'm doing. It's like I'm washing milk, okay? The whole thing is full of milk. We use 10 cups, max capacity. And so we're washing it. I dump it out. Normally, I do it maybe 5 to 6 times. At the 6th time, it still looked as murky and as thick and milky as the first time. Like, what in the world? Good night. And so I just wash. Took me about a dozen times to finally the water got, you know, mostly clear, okay? If I really tried, it would still get a little white. But it was a big difference from the first time. But I had to do it over and over and over and over again. And the idea is every time I dumped out the white, you know, dirty water, I'm like, well, it's taking something off. Don't quit. just keep doing it. Just keep on scrubbing. Don't let up because our faith is in the Word of God. God's Word, here's the thing. More than just the best detergent that you can buy, the Word of God promises that it can truly furnish us unto all good works. The Word of God tells us it is profitable to doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So if something is not getting clean, it's user error. Don't blame the product, you know, because this is infallible. This is eternal. This is God's word. This works every single time. If I'm not clean, I'm just not washing or washing enough. Okay, don't. It's not, again, not one and done. Wash our hearts. Wash each other's feet. Until when? Till we see Jesus. Praise God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father, what a tremendous thought, Lord. I thank you for your precious word. Help us to immerse ourselves in it, Lord, that we can trust in it completely. Help me to be washed up, Lord, to in the spiritual, in a good sense. And so, Father, we ask that you would just work in our hearts, that we would keep coming to church, that we keep reading our Bibles, keep praying to you, keep thinking of scriptures, that you will wash, we will wash our hearts, Lord, till there be no spot nor wrinkle. Again, so that we can serve you. And Father, we love you. And bless this invitation time, Father. May hearts be stirred, we ask in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed.